He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on there and talk about how right I am once again in anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
The 20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks. But super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this Wednesday, September 3rd. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Happy hump day here on this lovely afternoon here on 1430 ESPN. 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Central Valley sports leader. Pleased to be here. Pleased to be bringing you 2 hours of content today before we send it out to Colorado for a game that has a lot of juice. How about last night? We'll get into that in terms of the Giants and the Rockies. We'll talk about all things kind of coming up in sports as well. Big week of sports, folks. Big week of sports. It is football, NFL. We are a little over 24 hours away from the NFL getting going, including that big game against Dallas and Philly, airing right here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, 5 p.m. tomorrow. Can't wait. Let's dive into it here soon with our show. But first, big thanks to Tony D, who took us up to this hour here. Tony D's show, the Sportsline Bulldog Hour with Tony D from 2 to 3 p.m. on 1430 ESPN. Good to have him always on here and getting you prepped for the Bulldogs in their pursuit of another victory this week against Oregon State and other Bulldog happenings beyond as well. You can listen to his show live on demand on the 1430 app or 1430ESPNFresno.com. That's where you can go and check it out in terms of that. Also, you can check out my show, Behind the Bench, on 1430ESPNFresno. And you can also check out Paul Metter's show, The Central Valley Sports Report, live from 10 a.m. to noon on 1430ESPNFresno. By the way, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays, every Saturday live from First String Sports. We're also live in some other capacities as well, including the video portion of our show. You want to watch that, see the faces behind the voices that you listen to on the radio, you can check it out on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch, ESPN Fresno, where you see it. Hello to the video audience out there. Good to see you. Good to have you. Be sure to like and subscribe and all things that we have in terms of our video portion of our show. Be sure to check it out today. Also, got our sponsors to get to, including Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air sponsoring the Lee's Air Hotline. That's right, 559-320-1430. The way to reach us, 559-320-1430. The way to reach our show here and every day in the studio. So if you have something to say, get yourself in on the show here. Conversation, be part of the conversation. Once again, 559-320-1430. Easy to remember for everyone out there. Let's do a little Lee's Air weather check. And I made a bold proclamation yesterday. I'm still hoping it can stay true. I thought yesterday might have been the last day of hundreds. Is it really 100 degrees if it touches it for like 20 minutes? I'm keeping your mic off. I know you're going to talk smack. I'm kidding. Here we go. All right. I'll turn it up. You want to talk? Go ahead, Jorge.
It's 100 degrees. What are you talking about?
I got 99 on my dial here. 99. And that's not 100. So
just because yours says it's not.
What is yours saying? Where are you getting your sources?
Let's see.
Is it from the fake weather news people?
Yeah, the fake
one. The fake one? You know, the people who misinform and
it says high of 100.
That's a high. Is it actually 100 yet?
Well, it's not a high yet.
Well, it's semantics. Nine. That's what it is.
It's 99 right now.
Yeah, exactly. Talk to me when it's 100 degrees. 99, we're perfect. We're sailing. Anyways, we're going to get into this argument. I'm sure we are. But I'll say this. We're not going to see 100-degree temperatures the rest of the year. Rest of the year. No, see you later. By the way,
I don't know about that.
Rest of the year. Goodbye. No more hundreds.
I mean, it'd be good because my electricity bill is...
We're dying. Everybody's dying.
Way too high.
I was dying in terms of that as well. Okay. Hello, Jorge. By the way, Jorge producing in a show. One of our folks in the producing side of things. Jorge, good to hear from you. How are we doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing good. You know, it's a Wednesday. It's a hump day, you know, so
yeah.
It's middle of the week, and it doesn't feel like it because I feel like I missed a day, but
yeah. We got Chloe in here as well. Chloe, how are we doing on this Wednesday?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to have you in on the show. How you been?
I've been great. Super busy, but, you know, doing what I love.
You have a good Labor Day weekend that we haven't checked in with you since the Labor Day weekend.
I had a great Labor Day weekend. I cooled off at the beach.
Okay.
But actually, it was kind of hot over there.
Mm. Complaining at the beach? Come on.
I mean, I was still at the beach. It was amazing. Okay. I ate lots of good food.
All right.
Too hot to go to the beach?
What's too hot for the beach? What is that?
I don't know.
Is that 80?
I've never seen that. I never had that before.
I'm talking like I was walking and sweating at the beach.
Okay. That's fine.
That doesn't happen.
That's not supposed to happen? I think the sunlight and everything, you're supposed to...
You're at the beach, so.
Beach activities? I don't know. All right. We may need to dive into this a little bit more, but we'll get into it later. We got things to get to in our show, of course, and can't wait to get into it. What do we got on the slate for you? We're gonna have a good show for you today. We're going to have fun with some of the Fresno State talk, including I'm going to gamify it a little bit ahead of this game, ahead of this Oregon State game. We're going to pick five different impact players. We're going to draft them, so be prepared. You might have your player picked from you if you have some in mind. So, but that's going to be in the second hour. We're going to do some talk about baseball. Who'd have figured? Baseball last night had some juicy storylines in terms of that last night. Dive into that. I'm going to impromptu do something here. We're going to talk Super Bowl predictions, MVP predictions here on the show today. I think we'll dive into that today because this is the last day of the regular season and last day we get to do something like that. And
I think the preseason.
So the regular season starts tomorrow. And so I figured, why not? This is our time. And maybe we pick our playoff teams today as well. Is that feels like something we could do here in this hour? I think that's something we could do.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Maybe. So I'm gonna start writing some predictions down in terms of that. We'll do some spread stuff, daily spread. And then I want to do a closer look. We have 3 days here before we send it off to the weekend. So we have three games to talk about specifically and locking it down. I want to talk the Niners game against the Seahawks. I think it's the most compelling game of the three we have on our family networks. The game is going to be on 14:30. Niners, Seahawks. What are we looking for in this one? What is it going to look like in terms of the game against Seattle? How big is this for the Niners versus how big is this for the Seahawks? We'll dive into that, I would say, in the 4 o'clock hour. So going to be revolving around a lot of football here today, talking about everything coming up as well. Of course, we take you up to Giants pregame 5:10 against the Colorado Rockies over on 790 tonight. It's the FPU Sunbird Sports Show. Paul Metters is going to be on 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Talking FPU Sunbirds sports as well. So buckle in, folks. Should be a good one. 2 hours, man. They fly. They fly every time we have a two-hour show, I feel like. Sometimes I feel like getting in the rhythm of a two-hour show, you never quite get there in terms of it. But let's start off with last night's news, last night's action. And I would say it's a sports story brought to you by Valley Pure. We were hearing it. We were still in the office before we were leaving last night. Jorge and I were still chilling out here. And I was hearing Joe Rizzo start to describe what was going on in the first inning. Unfortunately, we don't have the playback of the call, but Rafi Devers, 8 pitches into Kyle Freeland's start, takes him deep, hits a home run. It's a tank shot, let me tell you. Colorado balls in Colorado, they fly deep. And it was a deep shot to right field. Devers looked at it for a little bit. Not like the crazy, most egregious look at it in terms of home run trots I've ever seen. He goes slow around the bases, and before he even gets the first, Kyle Freeland's dropping some expletives to the guy, to Rafi Devers. And Rafi was getting fired up right back at him. And from then on there, the Giants reacted. Matt Chapman came in shoving Kyle Freeland. Willie Adames looked like he wanted to throw a punch. And sure enough, Freeland, Adames, Chapman, all out of the game. Giants still win, despite the craziness of 8 pitches into a ballgame. Giants leading 2-0. But that was a... It wasn't a full-out crazy brawl. We haven't seen one of those in some form or fashion. But I'm telling you, there's some juice there with last night's action. I've had fun.
Yeah, the pitcher went out throwing 8 pitches and no strikes.
Yeah.
So it just felt like, it was unnecessary. Because right. he didn't stare at him too long. It didn't feel like he disrespected him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, besides the home run, but
what's the proper time to like leave the batter's box? Is there a certain time, or was Freeland just so mad after 8 pitches he just put it in his mind and he's like, because I'm imagining if you're a pitcher on the mound and sitting there and you get mad about that situation, you feel like time's so slow because you gave up one of the biggest home runs one of the longest home runs you've seen.
You heard that. And
loud.
It was loud. I heard it on the radio loud.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe he was already pissed off. Maybe he just didn't want to see it or hear it from anybody. So he went at him, and Ralphie went back at him.
Who do you generally blame in these situations? Do you feel like the pitcher overreacts, or do you feel like the batter should move along?
This situation, definitely the pitcher.
Yeah.
This situation, because it just didn't feel like it was necessary for him to jab at him.
Uh-huh.
He could turn around, just go back to his business, and be ready for the next guy. But he didn't. He just stared right back at him and then started, saying things. So if you say something to me, I'm going to say something back. So that's where it starts.
Chloe, where do you stand on the unwritten baseball rules, per se, of that, where a guy wants to admire his home run just for a little bit, and the pitcher tells you to move along? Who is more sensitive in the situation? Do you feel like it's always the pitcher? I always feel like it's the pitcher that's too sensitive in the situation.
Probably the pitcher. I mean, the guy was just really trying to take in a moment, I guess. Yeah. But, no, I feel like they, in general, are taking this way too seriously. Like, it should have escalated that.
Like, I'm trying to think of a you've done gymnastics. You did D1 gymnastics, right? I'm trying to think. You stick a landing, and you just stick it for a little bit longer. You admire the fact that you stuck it. And some girl's like, all right, move along. I want to come up next.
Yeah, that's crazy. That definitely would never happen.
Yeah.
It's definitely not that serious.
I know. But some people feel like it could get that serious in any sport in terms of that. But
yeah, but I also feel like there was some pent-up aggression with the Giants there, because they came out quick.
Well, let's be honest.
Not pushing.
The Rockies got to be frustrated. That was their 100th loss, and we're in the start of September. That was their 100th loss of the season.
What is it? Their magic number? Somebody said that yesterday. Their magic number is like 6 or 7?
I think they're down to 6 or 5. They need to win 5 or 6 more to avoid the worst record in baseball history. So they just need to find 5 or 6 more wins in this month. But good on the Giants, man. What I really like, and some people were like, man, Chapman shouldn't have gotten involved. Adames shouldn't have gotten involved. I like that they got involved. I'm telling you, this was the life I was kind of looking for from this Giants team the last month and a half. I was like, where's the leadership? Where's anybody who's trying to fire anybody up? In terms of seeing those guys go out and say, hey, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to protect my guy. Don't get in my guy's face. He hit the home run off of you. Accept that. Make sure you take accountability of that. And if you're going to get mad at him, we're going to get mad at you. I like the response, and it worked well because they won. It wouldn't have been as good if the Giants kind of blew that game last night. But I really enjoy that Chapman and Adames came up. That's leadership, man. That's what I've been looking for how many months, right? Where are those guys when they were doing that in
last
August
month?
And July, right?
last month, last 2 months. It feels like it's a little bit too late now.
That's the next question. Do you feel like this is too little too late of caring about the season? They're 4.5 back. They win tonight. They're 4 back because the Mets have already lost today. Do you feel like it's too little too late for this Giants team? Are we caring a little?
I mean, mathematically, we're still on, but the way everybody seems to be playing right now, it feels like there's a chance because everybody else is losing.
Yeah.
But if they start winning, I mean, there's no catching them.
I know. And the part of this season is so weird because the Giants have such a strange schedule where they wrap up with Colorado they got 4 more games with Colorado. You would chalk it up as like a 3-1 record at the very least. St. Louis, who's been kind of fading pretty much the last month and a half as well. They've been doing the Giants thing for the last month and a half, but they haven't really figured it out. They play St. Louis, then they have them the final week of the year as well. 4-2, you take it. I think realistically the Giants have to go 5-1 against them. Diamondbacks right behind you as well in that same territory. 4-2, 5-1, and then beating the Dodgers. That's what you got to do. They got seven of those games left too with the LA Dodgers. So what's the formula for the Giants? What do they got to do in the month of September? Jorge, do they got to hit 20 wins? Is that something that'll get them over the hump into a playoff spot if they want to catch the Mets?
I think so.
Is 20 the magic number?
They have to.
They're already at two this month.
They can't lose any more series.
Yeah.
They have to at least, win the series. You don't have to sweep them, but you have to win them.
Yeah.
And if that happens and, some numbers that this guy's, the Dodgers and the Padres keep losing, that will help you out. I mean, the Mets, they're not, I think they lost today, right?
The Mets did already lose, yeah, to the Tigers.
So, I mean, that's helping you out right there.
Yeah.
It's just, if for whatever reason those teams, just turn it around and start winning, you're going to have to, do something else, but. I don't know. It feels like you could make it, but it's not going to be easy.
3, 6, 9, 12, 15, 19, 22, 25 games left on the year. So 19 and 6? Does that get you to the playoffs?
You can only lose 6.
Have 6 to lose.
Okay.
Is that remotely possible for this team?
I want to say yes, but at the same time, this
the fact that I'm entertaining this, by the way, after declaring him dead in July, is insane to me. But I'm we got to talk content here. And the Giants, man, I don't know. And then even if they get to the playoffs, what are we going to do there in terms of that? They got to go.
When in 2010 it felt like I was 2010 or 2012.
2010. They were the stat.
Yeah.
I saw the stat.
Yeah.
You're talking about it. They were 6 games back, same position as they same were position. In the wild card. Against the Padres. The only problem is they were 6 games back of only the Padres. They're 6 games back, and they had to go. They have to leapfrog the Reds, and they have to beat the Mets. They have to beat 2 teams and hope 2 teams lose, and instead of the Padres, who we need to lose in that 2010 playoff race. All right, 6 losses. Where are we going to find them? Do we go 2-1 against the Cardinals this weekend? Is that what we're counting? So that's one.
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah.
Are we going 2-1 against the Snakes in San Francisco?
Yeah, that could happen.
Are we going to try to win 2 out of 3 against the Dodgers?
Yep.
2 out of 3 against the Diamondbacks on the road?
I feel like, yeah, we have to.
2-2 against the Dodgers in L.A.? I'm at 6 losses already.
You can't go 2-2.
You got to go 3-1.
You got to go 3-1.
And then you got to go 5 of 6 in the final homestand against the Cardinals and the Rockies. So we sweep the Rockies, 1 loss to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Win every series.
You have to.
You got
to
win every series
and sweep one.
By the way, I'm counting that the fact that they need to win tonight for that to be even. Yeah. For 6 losses to be remotely possible.
I mean, there's a chance. And that's all I could say.
You're saying there's a chance. What do the Mets have left? Is it tough? Wow, Cincinnati's. Okay, this is a problem for the Giants because the Mets have Cincy. So those teams cancel each other out in terms of the Giants climbing over them. It's a 3-game series. You would kind of hope that Cincinnati would beat 2 out of 3, I think, in order for the Giants to keep rolling. Then you hope the Mets sweep or the Phillies sweep the Mets. Mets still have the Rangers. Rangers are playing good baseball. Mets have the Padres, who they could lose to. Nationals will be an easy team. Mets have the Cubs. And then they go to Miami. So, to gain 4 games on the Mets in that stretch, I think that's a possibility. But what I'm asking the Giants to do is go 5-2 against the Dodgers there. That's the only caveat. And I don't know if they can go 5-2 against the Dodgers down the stretch.
I feel like the Giants put themselves in this position. And,
yeah.
And, it just feels like, it's unreachable. It feels like it's a ritual.
So you're quitting on it, Jorge. Quitting on the pipe dream.
No. I'm still in there.
Okay.
I'm still trying to figure it out. But, I mean, mathematically, we're still in it. So we're going to fight until there's no more.
Is there any reality to what I'm saying, Chloe? Or do you think I'm just giving pipe dreams to the Giants fans here?
Yeah,
I know you're
a long shot.
Long shot. Where were the Giants' odds of making the playoffs? Do we got a percentage? I had
right now, or
yeah, I want to see the percentage here real quick. CBS Sports does a really good job of showing the percentage of chance of making the playoffs. They give them a 5.8% chance of making the playoffs.
Take that bet.
You take that bet.
I'll take that bet.
All right. Plenty to get to it today's show, and we'll get to it pretty soon here, but. We're going to talk a lot of different sports here coming up next. But first, let me tell you, folks, this is what we got on the docket. The NFL is here. Week one starts tomorrow. And week one is your shot to play free and stack $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Here's how. You download the DraftKings Pick 6 app, DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. Enter for free and pick more or less on 6-player stats for week one. They already got a gimme pick with Dak Prescott. You pair that with a couple other things, like I did Saquon's rushing yards higher. I also did higher on CeeDee Lamb's receiving yards. I think it'll be a lot of offense tomorrow night. Share your link with friends that have more cash in the bag and get bonus shots to win. Hit all picks, 6 picks. You'll be sweating a bag that's already at $1 million or more. Download DraftKings Pick 6 app. Use code KFIG. That's code KFIG. Opt in for free. Start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost, huge upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18+. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry in Bag Builder contest. Only perfect entries earn share of cash prize. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at picksix.draftkings.com/promos. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here in this first hour here. Wow, we're already halfway through that first segment. Big one for us. Good to have you guys here, Jorge, Chloe, here for us today. And we're just diving into football. We love football. We talk about football all the time here. And, it feels like I haven't talked about football all the time here. We had the whole summer. It was baseball and other fun stuff. Chloe, just be glad you didn't have to do the 50 states in 50 days trivia all summer. Didn't you do one of those? Did you do one of those or no?
I was here for one, but I didn't do anything in it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, that was Jorge wakes up in cold sweats thinking about 50 states in 50 days.
I did great in that.
maybe Tim Beer does.
Yeah, both Tim Beer.
Yeah. So, anyways. All right. I want to do this officially. We are a day before the NFL season kicking off. So this is where we put our money to our mouth in terms of the predictions. And so one of the things I want to do here is let's take this opportunity now to pick our playoff teams and our Super Bowl predictions. We're putting it on live right now on the air here because let's just make it happen. This is what we're going to do. This is going to be the Daily Spread brought to you by Chukchansi Gold Resort and Casino. Remember, they got deal and dine on table games. You ready to deal and dine? Buy in $200 at any table game and play for an hour to receive a free California Market buffet meal. They do that every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. That's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. Be sure to stop by Chukchansi Gold Resort and Casino today. Your Daily Spread. And we're taking a look at some of the odds, the Super Bowl odds. And I'll just read some of the top 10 teams in the Super Bowl odds category according to ESPN. Here's what we got. Tied at the top to win the Super Bowl right now, Philadelphia and Baltimore. They're +650 to win the Super Bowl. Buffalo at a +700 to win the Super Bowl. Chiefs are at +750, and then you go into your 10-1s and beyond. Lions are the 10-1 odds. They got the fifth best odds here. Packers at 14-1. Commanders 18-1. Bengals at 18-1. Niners 20-1. to win the Super Bowl. Rams at 20-1 to win the Super Bowl. And then maybe, how about some action? Maybe you got the Vikings at 25-1, Texans 25-1. Then I think I'm kind of hitting the threshold of some longer shots. 30-1 Broncos. Anybody? 30-1 Chargers. Bucks 30-1. And the Bears. Wow. They're 30-1. That's a little crazy. All right. So that's what we got for you. We're going to go around the horn here for this segment. We're going to go quick. Nothing crazy. We're going to pick our playoff teams. And so you need to pick seven teams per conference in terms of who you think is going to be good this year and able to make the playoffs. Be sure to pick four division winners and three wild cards in terms of that. Are you guys ready? Ready to do this? Ready to cycle around?
Let's go. Let's
we'll go me. We'll go Jorge. We'll go Chloe. Does that work? All right. And I'm going to start. We'll start in the AFC. Does that work for everybody? We'll start in the AFC. My number one seed, I have the Baltimore Ravens. I've proclaimed how good they can be. I have them in my top of the power rankings in my Phil's best, Benatti's best in terms of that. I've said a lot of what I said. I think the Ravens are going to have a really good time this year. Jorge, who do you have as the AFC one seed?
I have the Bills.
Buffalo.
Yep.
All right. You like it?
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, Josh Allen's going to have a good season here. I think it's probably going to be another MVP season, right. But we'll see.
Okay. Chloe, what do you got at the number two seed? Or number one seed, excuse me.
I'll go with the Chiefs.
Chiefs! Oh, boy. Why do you like the Chiefs?
I don't like the Chiefs, but...
I understand why you don't like the Chiefs, but why do you think they are going to be very good this year?
Because they've been consistent. They've had consistent runs, so I gotta keep going with it.
They are,
unfortunately,
inevitable. Is that where you're at? Is that how you're feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, my number two seed in the AFC, I'm going to go Buffalo. That's what I got. Buffalo's number two. For the reasons you like, Jorge, excited to see what this team looks like, but I'm going to officially, with ink, put in Buffalo as my number two team.
For my number two, I'm going to put, the Ravens. So
okay.
I'm gonna do a switcheroo.
We'll do a little switcheroo here, Jorge.
Yeah. So I think they're just a complete team that's just like maybe just missing one piece or maybe just, I don't know. It just feels like they're missing something. I don't know what it is, but
okay.
But they're definitely, you know, very complete.
All right. Chloe, what do you got at number two?
Am I also able to put the Bills?
You can put the Bills, yeah.
I'm going to put the Bills. I've been paying attention to them. I like them.
You've been paying attention. And you like them. We like that. Number three. I've got the Chiefs here. I've got the Chiefs here at number three.
I got the Chiefs also.
Yeah. I they're inevitable. Like Chloe said, they're good until they're not, and we're going to find out if they can stay good. And we'll see. Mahomes was a little bit of struggle busting last year in terms of the statistical category, but they kept winning. They're hard to beat. So, Chloe, what do you got in the three?
I have the Ravens.
Okay. So we're just cycling around the three teams.
Well, they're the best teams in that.
Is this like the modern era, and Jorge would more know about this than I do, than maybe Chloe. It's a little past Chloe's era, but this is like Manning – Roethlisberger, Brady, is this like this era of it?
Pretty much, yeah.
In the same conference?
The Colts,
Steelers, and the
Steelers
Patriots.
And the Patriots, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that in terms of it. A little occasional Rivers.
Rivers or Flacco.
Flacco. But I don't even count Flacco in that era because Flacco didn't get drafted as the same
year. He would show up, though.
Yeah, he would show up. Number four. I'm going my first big weird pick. This has to be my AFC South team.
Weird pick?
AFC South division winner. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Okay. All right.
I have to pick. They have to be the four seed. They win the AFC South. That's why I pick them here at the four. I don't think they're as good as other teams I will have in this playoff rank, but I have to put them four because I think they're winning the AFC South over the Texans, winning in the last week of the year, getting it clinched. How about that?
I'm going Texans. I think they're well coached and they have a good quarterback. I just feel like they have better weapons than the Jaguars, and they feel like they could, you know, get the four seed.
I think there's a luck factor with the Jaguars. That's why I put them there. I think they lost a lot of one score games last year. Something tells me luck changes, and You grab a few more of those. They can get to 8-9 wins. I think that's all it takes to win that AFC South. I think the Jags do it. What about you, Chloe?
For my South, I'm also going Texans.
Okay. So you guys like the Texans, the stability of it, but the lack of flashiness with the Texans. That's where I said it. Well, nothing excites me about the Texans.
Yeah, but also they're not Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'm telling you, the Jaguars are infinitely more interesting to watch than the Houston Texans, in my opinion.
You know what? I haven't seen them this season.
Is so there not more a player that I'm more excited to see than Travis Hunter play football in this NFL?
Okay, Travis Hunter, yes, but that's about it because everybody else is. I mean, I don't know what else they have. I mean. Yeah,
who are the Texans throwing out of their weapons in terms of the running back? Jorge, I think they'll try you out in the 3 weeks for the running back position, the way they're going through running backs right now. Who they don't have Joe Mixon. Like, Joe Mixon's out for the year. I know it's not reported. It's going to happen. It looks so bad for Joe Mixon this year.
He'll be all right.
And if that team can't run the ball, they're going to have to pass. And if they can't pass protect, they're not going to be able to pass because they can't do anything in terms of going up against all those defenses. That's why. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just a little hot there. I'm sorry. You guys didn't do your Texans pick. I'm just trying to defend my Jaguars. Anyways.
you're the one that went off on there.
A little hot.
Bring it back.
I have the Broncos at 5. I think they're the best team that's not going to win a division. This offense is going to be a lot of fun. I can't believe I'm saying that because I hate Denver. I hate Denver as much as any other team out there, just from my own personal biases, and that's fine. But Denver's going to be a 5 seed.
I'm going to take Joe Burrow and
Cincy,
yeah.
Wow. They're going to outscore everybody.
For the Bengals have a good team, and I feel like this is Joe Burrow's going to be one of his good years.
Okay. All right. Chloe, what do you got?
I'm going with the New York Jets.
Bull.
What? Out of nowhere.
What?
I just have hope.
Oh, my God. You could have said anyone else. I would have believed you if you said the Browns.
No.
The Jets. What's giving you a vibe about the Jets?
I'm just feeling good vibes from them right now, you know? I'm feeling like it's going to be a strong season.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not expecting, like, wow, amazing.
That
but
hurt my soul.
Strong enough.
Cole, you know the Jets. I hate the Jets the most out of any team.
They have a quarterback?
Justin Fields? Question mark. All right, Chloe, you do you.
I'm feeling good vibes. Strong
good,
vibes.
Good vibes. Hey, you know what? I bring on – Ace is listening, I know. I bring on a guy who goes after vibes. So there you go.
Running on vibes now.
I can't yuck that yum. Number 6 seed. I have as the 6 seed out of the AFC. I have the – I'll do it. I'll pick for the New England Patriots.
All right, now we're delusional now.
Oh, okay, all right.
All right.
Patriots, defense wins, running backs win football games. They are going to get back to the old school ways of football. And Drake May hasn't done me wrong just yet.
I feel like there are like 6 other teams who would be better than
them. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
We'll see. We'll play the games.
I got the Broncos at number 6.
Okay. You have the Broncos? Same reasons I do.
Pretty much, yeah. The coaching is top notch, so okay. I think they're gonna be there.
Chloe, who do you got at 6? I can't wait for this pick.
I have the Steelers.
All right. Okay.
Well, I don't know what to say.
You know, if this happens, I'm listening to you in every sense of the word in terms of Vegas odds, all of it. You were.
Hey, I won my March Madness off of vibes.
Okay. All right, off of vibes. All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers. All right, crazy stuff. Number 7, I have the Los Angeles Chargers. I have the Chargers last team in for the AFC. Chargers will be the 7th seed, in my opinion. They'll just barely get in.
I, too, have the Chargers. I think that they're the team that, you know, it's going to struggle sometimes, but other times it's going to look really good.
Yeah.
It's going to be that up and down team that you're thinking, like, this could be a playoff team, maybe even a Super Bowl winning team, but the next week they'll be losing to some random ass team.
Chloe, what do you got?
I also have the Chargers.
All right. we can all agree on something. Look at that.
Yeah.
Why do you like the Chargers, Chloe?
You know, they're just looking good. They're looking strong. So, again, I think they'll have a good chance, but then they are also able to turn around and ruin it for themselves. But
all right. I like it, though. I like it. So, all right. We've got the AFC filled out. Let's go NFC real quick. Let's see if we can get through this here. Should I go bold for my one seed of the NFC?
Okay.
Or should I go recency bias, or should I just go with my head?
It's up to you.
Green Bay Packers are your one seed.
Really?
In the NFC.
Wow.
They got
Mike Barsha. They got their dude.
I've been a believer in the Packers. I've been a big firm believer in the Packers for a while. And Jordan Love's coming out party has to come this year. If it doesn't, then I'm going to start questioning everything with the Packers and the way they structure their team. But it feels like Green Bay's got to have it here.
Okay. My number one is the Eagles.
I get it.
Just because they're the Eagles.
I get it. Chloe, are you in the same boat there?
You should know what my number one team is already.
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to go with the 49ers.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. All right.
I like your pick.
I know you do. I know. Chloe's a big fan of the Niners, and that's where we're gonna settle in there. All right, number two seed, I got the Eagles. That's no surprise. I've been boasting about the Eagles for a while. I think the Eagles are going to have a little bit of a tough time with their schedule this year. But outside of that, it's a foolproof team in terms of making the playoffs. I'm going to go Eagles there at two.
I'm going to go with the Lions.
Okay.
Two Lions, I think they're still up there.
They're still doing things. They're still making it happen.
Maybe not as tough as they used to be, but, you know, they're going to make it.
Yeah. All right. I like it. My three seed is going to be the Buccaneers. I'm a big believer in Baker. Big believer in that whole system. Big believer in the fact that Tampa has one of the easiest divisions to win football games in. In terms of that. So get them to 10. All they need to do is like win 6 in their division, win all those games, and they can cruise to a playoff spot, in my opinion. 3 seed, Tampa.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think my 3 seed will also be Tampa, just because I don't think their division is that hard.
We're in the same boat.
So, yeah, it's just that.
All right. Chloe, what do you got? 3.
You didn't like my Niners, and you skipped my number 2 seed.
Did I skip it? I'm sorry.
You did.
I'm sorry. You select me so bad with the Niners pick. I couldn't even fathom thinking about, like, where to go next. So, yes, Chloe, I apologize. 2 and 3. What do you got?
My number 2 is the Eagles, and my number 3 is the Seahawks.
Honestly, I felt like 2 was given with the Eagles anyway. Seahawks number 3. Why the Seahawks?
I don't know. I was kind of looking at their team for this year, and – I mean, if their offense, you know, plays how they did last year, they can be a really strong team.
Okay. Number 4, I got the Rams. You know me. I'm enamored by the Rams. Devontae, everything. Puka, everything with the defense. It's a team that will win football games. Best coach in football, by the way. McVay. Rams at 4.
Number 4 is, for me, is Green Bay.
Ooh.
Got Green Bay there.
Okay.
Tough, and I think Parsons makes it a better team, but still, you know, not beating the Detroit Tigers.
So. Beating the who?
Not beating the Tigers.
For the
division.
The Tigers?
I mean, the Lions.
Yeah, well,
what am I talking about?
Were we playing football?
What is this?
Chloe, what do you got it for?
I have the Washington Commanders.
All right. Interesting. You just like Jaden Daniels, that whole crew?
I like Jaden Daniels as a player. I feel like he's very strong as a player.
Okay.
And I like how that team's looking. I feel like over the past few years, we've seen a lot of growth with them.
I'm a buyer's beware on the Commanders. I'll get to them in a little bit. Let's go to number 5. I got my number 5 seed, which is I'll go Detroit. They can't lose a whole lot in terms of their successful team, but they gotta fix things in terms of their system. But I hope their lines sound like their offensive line is going to be a little bit of an issue. So we'll see what they kind of build off of that. So I'll go Lions, number 5 seed.
I'll go number 5. I go LA Rams.
LA Rams, yeah.
I think they got a good team, but not, you know, too good of a team.
Not too good of a team. Chloe, what do you got at number five?
I agree. I'm also going Rams.
Okay. All right. I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll accept that. At number six, I have the 49ers. I think the schedule is easy enough for them that they can get there.
I agree with you.
We're right in the same spot, 49ers.
The same one.
49ers making the cut in terms of that. So I got them there. You got them there, Jorge, at number six?
Yes.
Chloe, who do you got at number six?
Falcons.
Falcons. Sneaky. Sneaky, sneaky. I thought about the Falcons. It's going to be an interesting team. I think I want to go Falcons there too, but I don't know if I want to really dive into that. Can I go bold?
You can do whatever you want. It's your show.
Panthers. Book it. That defense has to improve in some form or fashion. I think that offense is incredibly capable of being better than they are. They're going to be the out-of-nowhere team. I'm picking the Panthers. I like a lot. I have a lot to like about the Carolina Panthers.
I should say Cowboys on here.
You want to say Cowboys?
No. I'm going to say Commanders.
Hey, Cowboys were one of my teams until they traded Micah. I thought it was going to be a lock-in for them in terms of making the playoffs.
I don't think they have a good enough defense, so I think I'm going to go with the Commanders here.
Commanders. All right. I dig it. Chloe, who's your last team in?
I'm going to go with the Packers.
All right. They had to make it. I was like, where?
They're making my cut.
I was wondering. I was like, ooh, you got to get the Packers in there somehow. All right. So there you go. Official playoff predictions. Let's go to the Super Bowl real quick. Let's go reverse order now. Chloe, who's making the Super Bowl for you and winning it all?
My Niners. Okay. I got to go with it.
Who are they beating?
They are beating... We're beating the Chiefs.
Beating the Chiefs. I don't know if Jorge's heart can handle another Niners-Chiefs, especially if it's in Santa Clara.
We're going to go Niners-Bills. Niners-Bills.
I like that. I like that.
Because, Niners-Bills.
That's a good one.
I have the Ravens over the Packers for the Super Bowl title in Santa Clara. Ravens.
Lamar Jackson
gets it done, okay. Finally, against the Green Bay Packers, and it'll be a really solid, awesome game in Santa Clara, Super Bowl 60. We deserve it.
All right.
Good job, folks. Great job. Let's get to a break. Stay with us. You're listening to Behind the Bench on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Fun segment in the last segment. Like always, putting our opinions to the ground. And let me tell you, some people with some bold takes in that last segment. Bold takes. Almost to the level of trolling, I would say. But that's fine. That's what we do on this show.
I would never.
You would never. Say with the smile of a, you know what, in terms of that. Let's talk about what's coming up later today. First of all, by the way, reminder. I know we don't have the segment today, but I want to get the folks out talking about Grocery Outlet again. We're doing this big contest for Grocery Outlet. If you want to go to your northwest, downtown, southeast, Kerman, or Sanger locations, you can sign up for the Tailgate Ready promotion. We have another game coming up next week for the Fresno State Bulldogs against Southern. Let me tell you, this is going to be a special game. You're going to want to be there, and you want to pay for a ticket or you not want to pay for a ticket? Well, I have a way you don't have to pay for a ticket, and you get $100 to a tailgate. That's if you sign up for a contest over at Grocery Outlet. Those five locations I listed, northwest, downtown, southeast, Kerman, Sanger locations. If you go there, you'll see the way to sign up for our Tailgate Ready promotion. We already had one winner. Congrats to our first winner of the week. We'll be drawing another winner next week, and so on and so forth. You're in the entries for the rest of the season if you sign up. So we have you there, ready to go, and a chance to win special prizes for the Fresno State football games. And let me tell you, it'll probably be a lot better of a tailgate experience in a couple Saturdays from now. I'm looking at the weather-wise, and probably the vibes are a little bit better, hopefully, after a Fresno State win this week.
It'll be nice in the 80s.
Yeah. Tailgating easier in the 80s than 100s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll take it in terms of that. A reminder, like I said before, here's what the schedule looks like for the next couple of days. We're going to have my show again tomorrow, but it's going to be 3 to 5. We've got the Thursday night home opener, season opener between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, you see Philadelphia not going to be out in the locker room, or they're going to not be on the field when they raise the banner tomorrow night?
For their
Super Bowl, yeah.
Why?
The players, coach feels like it's a different year. They don't want to be out there.
That makes no sense.
I know. Is it a little try-hardy to say you don't want to watch your championship banner be raised in the stadium?
See, this is what happens when you don't win a lot of, when you're a small team, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm talking about championships-wise, you know? Yeah. You don't win a lot of trophies, so you don't know how to, you know.
There's
you
only
know
two. Only two banners for Philadelphia that you've won ever. And yet you want to be like this hardcore, like, we're not done. We're,
that one's,
we're gonna,
yeah, that one's
we don't even value that one. We got the next one to get to. Chloe, is it a little, is it trying hard, or
am I
making
it too serious?
Yeah.
Why are we taking, like,
enjoy the moment, right?
Exactly.
It's crazy.
You earned it.
Yeah. This is what irritates me about, like, Sirianni and his whole vibe. It's just like that. That is just doing a little too much in terms of being a football coach. In terms of that, I know coaches out there. You win some things, be successful, enjoy it in that moment. Now I get it. Maybe they gave the rings at the ring party or whatever, all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's just doing too much, in my opinion. But anyways, we've reached the end of the hour. Stay with us. Second hour coming up next on 1430 ESPN.
He's got the knowledge.
Because once again, I have to come on air and talk about how right I am once again. In anything that it comes to sports.
He's got the questions.
I'm going to lose it. Are you kidding me? What are we doing here?
He's got the guests.
20th head coach in Fresno State history here, Matt. Is it hard to believe sometimes still the 20th head coach here in program history?
It's all moved really quickly here over the course of the last 5-6 weeks, but super excited to be here.
Phil Bonatti is the voice for the Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench starts now. Brought to you by Helena Agri.
That's right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader here on this wonderful Wednesday. One more hour before we say goodbye and send you out to Denver, Colorado. Giants and Rockies coming up. 503 right on the dot. Good to have you. Excuse me, 403 on the dot here. Good to have you on our airwaves for another hour here. Like we're getting set for, we're in that midweek phase right now. We're just getting all that news gathered, all the things coming out in terms of the NFL week. I'll do a little of that real quick because the Niners releasing their, I believe we have an injury report in terms of that for the Niners here as it's laid out. Yeah, we got some players who are limited in participation. I think the big one, Juwan Jennings is limited, but said they are going to expect him to play in this game on Sunday. I would expect that the Niners need him to play for them to work in terms of their offense on Sunday, but that is a good sign that at least he's in there participating in some form of fashion. But we'll talk about this Niners-Seahawks game momentarily coming up. But I don't know if you saw, it just happened about 20 minutes ago. We had an immaculate inning in Major League Baseball. Former A's pitcher Mason Miller getting it done for the San Diego Padres. But good news for Giants fans, the Padres did lose again today. So lost to Baltimore. So pipe dream's alive, Jorge. Keep the pipe dream going.
This is how we win. This is how we win it all.
Yeah.
We start right here.
Yeah. I'm in a bad headspace right now because my guy, Roman Anthony, is strained his oblique. He's out for 4 to 6 weeks. And I basically said, cancel the season, cancel Thanksgiving, cancel Christmas. It's over. Nobody wants – when does football season start? I'm totally in shambles right now. I'm trying to put it all together here right now. But my guy is hurt, and I don't want to think about baseball anymore. It's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. I mean – there's still
this is a cry for help, Jorge. This is me crying for help, and you're
there's still you're just, much
you're
just, left.
You're being the worst therapist right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no upside to whatever.
No.
Yeah. So
okay.
Just enjoy him being down for a little
bit. Enjoy him being out.
Yeah, who's replacing with Alex Cora?
This reminds me of that SNL sketch where Kenan Thompson is Big Poppy, and he's like, "What?" I screenshotted this. I sent it to my friends today. He says, "Do you suffer from depression? Don't." And that's it.
Don't.
Just don't do it. and that's how I'm dealing with it.
Football season starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just you gotta flip the switch, bro.
You're right. We have some Cowboys to roast tomorrow. That's right.
We'll be in. Yes. And if they win, oh my God.
It'll be even better.
Imagine that.
Because then it'll just make Philly fans angry.
Then I'll be sad.
You'll be sad?
If the Cowboys win?
Philly will be
They're
really
harmless.
Pissed.
They're harmless.
I'm okay with them winning against Philly. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure you'll be okay with the Niners winning against Seattle. Let's talk about this matchup because I don't think we've gone into it in depth in terms of what the Niners and Seahawks matchup stands as far as this game is concerned. Niners and Seahawks in a battle on a Sunday afternoon. I don't know what time that game is at, but or I don't know what channel that game is at. I think it's on Fox.
It's a Fox game, but
it's also on
1430. We're going to have them here.
Right here on 1430. You want to listen to, I think it's Guy Hamerman, right?
Right. He's taking over duties from
Papa. Greg Papa. Well, Greg Papa rests up and heals from his diagnosis, and we wish Greg Papa well from here in the San Joaquin Valley. All right. So the Niners coming in. ESPN has them winning has a 53% chance of them winning. They are favored by 2.5 on the road. Although I would argue, I think that's a really favorable line to the Niners in terms of that, because I don't really see much of a difference between the two teams that are playing on Sunday outside of Seattle might have a tough time blocking what the Niners could provide in terms of the pass rush. The Niners could have some creative blitz schemes that could frustrate Darnold in that sense as well. And I'm curious to see what that'll look like, but our take on this game is, I wonder who's going to feel like they need it more. Is like Seattle, who is a team that I feel like is just a slightly step below the Niners in terms of the talent level on the football field. Does it feel like Seattle needs this more than the Niners do? Because the Niners right now aren't at 100%. We know that the best version of the Niners is not going to be here until about week 6. Right. I think that's our assumption. So who's the pressure on in week 1, I think, is a good question to ask. And I wonder, I'll start with Jorge, we'll go to Chloe next. Like, who has the most pressure in this game to start off in a good start here?
I think the Niners got to start well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think the Niners need this game more than the Seahawks do?
Yeah. Well, the Seahawks need to show that they have something to play for, you know, like, their quarterback's gonna be good. It feels like everything's new there. No, nothing's been proven yet to actually work. I mean, we've seen those players play, and they play well in other teams, but are they gonna do the same in this team? You know, it's a little bit different. There's so many variables too. But evidently, like at the very end, it's gonna end up being whoever's more ready to go in the first game here.
Is there a moment where you're going to be like, here we go again with the Niners in terms of that? I wonder.
why?
What do you mean why?
Why?
I'm not talking it's going to happen. I'm saying it when you – okay, let me – I'll back up. Well, Chloe, who needs this game more? And then we'll go – I'll explore that snap real quick.
I feel like the Niners need it to prove that, you know, as – we're looking at it, and like you're saying, we're not going to have our 100% team until week 6. Mm-hmm. I feel like from here until then, we need to prove that we still know how to perform as a team and know how to play football.
Yeah.
And put in the work that we need. But I feel like also the Seahawks, there are things that they're lacking in. They have disadvantages in, especially with the quarterback. You know, just seeing how he plays compared to last year. So it's a little bit of pressure on them as well.
I do think Darnold's a little bit better than I think people give him credit for still. I do. I like, do you want to hear a crazy stat? He has the most passing touchdowns by a player to ever change teams in off season in NFL history. That's a pretty insane. You know, Tom Brady famously changed teams from the Patriots to the Buccaneers, and Sam Darnold still had a better clip of that. But I get it. The Vikings are very good. The Vikings have a lot of weapons. But I think you're coming from a spot where Darnold played as poorly as he could have in that playoff game last year. I think that was his like worst game I've seen him since basically being a Jet back in the day. Like, yeah, go ahead.
But I feel like that was more of a whole entire Minnesota kind of thing.
You think it was
They weren't able to keep him any time.
Yeah.
Look at that rush.
And I don't know, man. There were moments I'm like, dude, you're sitting there. You're just sitting there and you're just staring at the lineman in front of you.
That was after he got hit so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to mess with your mind.
Adjust. You're a quarterback in the NFL. You got to adjust.
I mean, he's seen ghosts before. So
I'm not giving him a pass because he got hit one time in a game and suddenly he's feeling it. You know, you adjust in the game.
I mean,
that's what good quarterbacks do.
The game, yeah, it felt like that game, that playoff game. It really did feel like that they weren't covering him. Like he had zero time to go out there. I don't know if it was the defensive line that was getting to him or just the offensive line that wasn't prepared for whatever that was coming to him. I don't know.
I think the one play that was egregious where he actually just held it on way too long was the Jared Verse scoop and score when I think he fumbled the ball. It was like 8 seconds of pocket
time. And that was him trying not to throw something that might become an interception because he had nothing out there to throw it to.
Yeah. So maybe it is just Rams football doing the thing. And Saleh probably knows that and the tendencies of what Darnold had. By the way, Darnold was on the Niners like 2 years ago. Right, and so the Niners know exactly what Darnold's tendencies are, and Darnold knows maybe what the Niners' tendencies are. There's a lot of familiarity with the two opponents.
The team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, lost to Kansas City.
I don't know that Saleh was still there.
No, Saleh was not there. No, Saleh was a Jets head coach by then. But I'm saying the tendencies of the players that are on there. What does Fred do in terms of scout team defense or scout team offense when Sam Darnold was playing scout team offense and he was giving looks to Fred Warner and giving looks to Nick Bosa and giving looks to all those guys that are still up there. I think what has to happen in this game for the Niners to do to find success is to slow down what the weapons are in terms of Seattle, in terms of what they have, in terms of Kenneth Walker, in terms of Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Hello, Cooper Kupp. He's been a Niner killer for a long time. Like, let's be fair. Cooper Kupp really, really been a thorn in the side of 49er fans for the last few years. Now he's in a different uniform, and I feel like that's not going to be fun to deal with. I asked that question earlier in the segment. You push back. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but is there a moment when the Niners have a tendency to give these games away like they were last year? Where is the moment for you when it's like, here we go again?
I just feel like that was last year. Yeah. I don't know if it's going to be like that this year. I really don't. They changed a lot on the defense. Their offensive, you know, coordinators also changed. So, well, they got different weapons. They don't have the same weapons that they used to. So they got to change that too. So we'll see. We'll see if that continues to happen. Then that might tell you where the problem is.
Is there a point in the games last year, Chloe, where you were like watching the Niners, like especially during the losses? Do you feel like you pinpoint a moment where you're like, man, they can't be doing this for me to feel like they're going to win this football game?
Like, I feel like I noticed it, honestly, like towards the end of the third quarter, like if they really just weren't. Because I feel like they're a team where if you're down in the first half, like you can get back up in the second half.
Usually, but last year wasn't.
But it was like towards the end of the third quarter when you just saw it just keep going down. You would see a complete
the Kansas City game last year
change like within the team.
The Buffalo game last year,
yeah.
Even the one games that they won against Tampa Bay, that was a tough one that they had in the bag already, and all of a sudden Tampa Bay starts coming back. So I feel like they're a different team this year than what they were last year. So I think that's something that they had.
Your biggest difference? Like where what is the biggest difference for you?
I think defense. The mentality of the defense.
So you're just chalking it up to the defense was just not mentally there. I think
leadership in the defense, especially at coaching, was different.
Okay.
They didn't have what I mean, and we saw with Saleh before. that's why I'm so adamant at it that there's gonna be a change there.
It's a trust in Salah. Salah's gonna be back to being his Salah self.
And if it's not, if it continues to be the same, then you know it might be hired up. It might be Kyle the one that's, you know, maybe not trusting other people, or I don't know. It depends.
I find this game so fascinating for many, many reasons. The other reason is, what is Christian McCaffrey going to look like in this game? I mean, he hasn't played meaningful football in a year, over 2 years, like since the Super Bowl 2 years ago. And, like, he's got to be right for this Niners team to go. I'm declaring it right now. If he is not playing for the Niners at least 6 or 7 games or 8 games or whatever, he's out with these little ticky-tack injuries again, I'm not counting the Niners in the playoffs here. He is what makes things go for this.
I feel like you're shortchanging him a little bit with some other.
I'm shortchanging McCaffrey?
No, the entire running game of the Niners.
But I'm not saying that the running game's fine. He's not what makes the running game go. McCaffrey makes everything happen. He takes away from everything else in terms of where the teams attack in terms of their defensive side. He is the best decoy you could have in terms of football offenses as well. It's not that just because you had Garendo doing his thing, and he had a great couple of games, but Garendo's not being put into the game plan of opposing defenses because of what his threat level is, unless Garendo can show that he can catch a ball and be an all-purpose kind of guy for 200 yards a game like McCaffrey was. He's not, and McCaffrey needs to be that guy again.
I understand that part. I understand that part that where McCaffrey is a game changer, and that's why he's, you know, playing at the level that he is, you know. But I also understand that, you know, the gameplay that Kyle has been proven with other running backs, and they've done well. I mean, they're not at the level of McCaffrey. Yes, they're not.
Last year didn't, though.
Who?
Last year didn't.
Last year they had problems everywhere. They had a bunch of people injured and stuff. Yeah. It didn't work out because they were in their third or running back.
So best case scenario for the Niners is nobody gets hurt.
I mean, this is football.
Yeah.
What I'm expecting.
Exactly.
I understand that there's, you know, chances of getting hurt. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if there's in football, there's always like if you get hurt, there's someone backing you up.
Yeah.
You know, the next man up mentality.
And it felt like the Niners had guys like that for years. This year, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not vibing with it as much as I've vibed with it in the last few years, right? But then again, football's all about the
mark. And I get you that.
Yeah.
I understand that because other teams have, you know, prepared better than the Niners and have more weapons than the Niners. And I see that because they got, you know, the salary cap destroyed their good players. They got taken away from them. You know, they're the ones that are paying most cap for players that are no longer in their team, so, or the second most, I think.
But you get where I'm coming from on all, like Brian Robinson, that's a move they had to make. And I do like having that as a second option in terms of for the 49ers. And maybe that makes me feel a little bit better. But then again,
I understand that the level of you know, the Niners go down without McCaffrey. I understand that. But to just straight out kick him out of the playoffs, I don't know about that.
Do you know how many wide receivers are going to be dressing Saturday, by the way? Do you want to take a guess at how many active wide receivers are going to have on the roster?
Like 5?
It's 5. That's not a lot. Jorge, you can't go 5 wide shotgun formation, right, with this team? I don't think they're going to, but.
I feel like they still got some people on reserve.
Here's what you got. I'm looking at their depth chart right now. Juwan Jennings, Ricky Pearsall, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who has been on and off this roster all preseason, Sky Moore, who they just traded for, and then Jordan Watkins, who's even got a questionable designation right now. You're out. DeMarcus Robinson, Brandon Ayuk, Jacob Cowing, Trent Taylor. None of those guys are going to be playing.
I feel like you should have kept Tyreek Owens.
You wanted Tyreek Owens.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. He has speed, man.
Yeah. Chloe, does that depth concern you? I named it 5 guys, 5 wide receivers. One guy cannot get hurt, or you are you are limited in what you can do in terms of formation.
I mean, yeah, that's a good reason for concern. And I totally understand what you're saying about McCaffrey and everything, but I have to say, like, you can't just throw them out of the playoffs. You can't just throw one injury out of the game right now. It's that next man up mentality that we need for this game, and that I feel like they're proving slowly. I know we had a lot stronger proof of that a couple years ago, and then we kind of died down, but I still feel like we're proving that. We're still showing that people can step up when they're needed.
I'll give credit here. In terms,
you also forget we got Kittle, man.
I get that. So. I get that, and you got Juszczyk, and Juszczyk's a weapon too. That's fine. You got Juszczyk back. It's a house of cards, and maybe it stays up for a while, and maybe it does, but it is a house of cards.
You got no faith. You said for a while.
It could.
You got no faith.
It's football.
Yeah.
You said it's football. You told me injuries happen.
It does.
Injury happens to this team, especially on offense. I get concerned.
All the time.
Injuries happen on the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not as concerned. You know what I mean? It's just kind of like, that's where I'm at.
Didn't they didn't go to a Super Bowl because they got injured like 2 years ago?
Yeah, they were bad. They played bad football down the stretch. They almost fired their coach who ended up winning a Super Bowl the next year. But like, if I look at a formidable roster and I'm looking, like, if I go to Philadelphia right now, right? Let me look at it.
I just feel like you're discounting them way too easy.
I'm not trying to discount them. I'm just trying to give the realistic idea of what's going on in this game. And I think it's going to be close. Do I think they're going to win?
No, I feel like it's going to be a close game too. You know, the Seahawks have weapons.
I'll apologize for this. I focus too much on the long term in this conversation for the Niners. We wanted to focus on the short term of this game.
One game at a time, bro. One game at a time.
And let's be frank, I think the Niners, they're playing with their hand tied behind their back in this game coming up, but their hand tied behind their back is maybe just as good as what the Seahawks have with both their hands free. So we'll see. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks win this game. I don't think the Niners fans should come in expecting a win.
No,
will they win? They could.
No surprises here, but yeah. I feel like, you know, it's the beginning of the season, and one loss at the beginning of the season is not going to destroy your season right away.
Boy, how good would a win feel, though?
I mean, yeah, of course, everybody wants a win, of course.
Then you go beat the Saints up next week?
As we should.
Be nice.
As we should. As is tradition.
Yeah. As is tradition. As isn't the, this will be the 2025 tradition of everyone beats up on the Saints this year. Can't wait for that. All right, let's take a break, Jorge. When we come back, we're going to talk some Fresno State, especially with this game coming up in Oregon State. We're going to draft some players, some impact players next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. You're in our 4 o'clock hour in the middle of our segment here. I just ate a Rice Krispie treat, so I apologize, but man, those are good. You guys love a good Rice Krispie treat?
Yeah, we had them chocolate ones the other day.
Oh, man.
That was interesting.
I also had a strawberry one earlier this morning.
I like the cookies and cream one.
There's a cookies and cream one?
There was. Yeah. Oh my goodness. When I was in like high school. I like my homemade Rice Krispie treats.
Are you bringing some in?
Sure.
All right. There we go. Please? Please. I'm going to say please because that's a nice thing to do. Let's do a little of this day in sports history. September 3rd, big day to be Pedro Martinez, by the way. Love me some Pedro Martinez. Pedro Martinez became the 15th pitcher in 2007. He became the 15th pitcher to strike out 3,000 batters in his career when he struck out fellow pitcher Aaron Harang to reach the milestone. And then 2 years later, Pedro became the 10th player in MLB history to win 100 games in both leagues when he recorded his 100th win in the National League in a 2-1 Phillies win over the San Francisco Giants back in 2009. Now, I need to know who the other nine are. I wonder if I can figure that out. To win at least 100 games in both leagues. But Maybe we can figure that out by the end of the show.
A little bit of baseball news.
Yeah.
Matt Chapman got suspended one game.
Chappie.
For yesterday.
He just shoved him.
Others got fined.
Of course they did. He just shoved him, man. He just shoved him.
Yeah, that, I don't know. Feel
is he out this game? Is that what's going on there?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Defend your teammates. I like it. Be a good teammate. Don't be a bad teammate like Framber Valdez. You know who I'm talking about, right? The Astros pitcher?
Yeah, the Astros who hit his catcher.
Threw his catcher right in the square of his...
Apparently, he's the one that threw the ball that went into a home run.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The guy, nutcase. Okay. Let's do our little player draft. We're going to go into talking about Fresno State football next, which they have a big game on Saturday. By the way, so early. Early in the day, 12:30. I'm trying to figure out how to watch this game. I have some friends... unfortunately, some friends are away or are currently down with the vid. I'm trying to figure out a way to watch some football with some people. So maybe I'll go to the old parents' house. Maybe we watch it that old school way. I just invited myself over. All right, let's talk about the game coming up, though. Oregon State, big one. We're going to go around. We're going to draft some players. I'm going to be nice. And Chloe, you're going to be the first pick here today because I know you're so afraid of people taking your players. So here's how it's going to work. We're going to go you, then Jorge, then me, then Jorge, then you, and we're going to snake around like a fantasy football draft per se. Just pick a name, say why they're going to be impactful in this Saturday's game against Oregon State, and we'll keep rolling it along. It's going to be a fast, quick segment here. And Chloe, who is your number one big-time player for the Bulldogs coming up Saturday against Oregon State?
I'm going to go Finn Claypool.
Finn! All right, I like it. What do you like about Finn?
He's shown a lot of sacks for us.
Okay.
And is a really strong player on our defensive line.
I like it. Finn's got a breakout game coming. I almost am tempted to talk about him in my bark board write-up. But anyways, Jorge, who do you got as your number one?
I'm going Bryson Donaldson.
Okay. Why? I know why.
Bryson Donaldson.
Because he's Bryson Donaldson.
He's got explosive, he's got an explosive breakout, and I think his vision is really good, too.
Got a lot better. A lot better, a lot stronger towards the start of that game, right?
Definitely. So
I think that's a good call. Good call. I'm going to go EJ Warner. I'll do it. I'll take EJ Warner at the quarterback. I've been hesitant to just take the quarterback right at the top, but I think we finally get his first touchdown pass of the year this game. I think there's going to be some interest in terms of what he is able to do. I call this. I think his first touchdown is going to be him running into the end zone. I think he's going to run into the end zone and score a touchdown there. He'll find another touchdown pass. I think a two touchdown day. Hopefully no turnover day. EJ Warner going to get back on track and make things happen. My next pick is a guy who leads tackles in all of NCAA football right now, although the stat's a little misleading because he played a week zero. I'm going to go Jaden Pearson. Jaden Pearson as the linebacker there for the Bulldogs. Been absolutely phenomenal. I stood next to this guy, by the way, during the on-field warm-ups. He is a large human. And I am also a large human, but he is a large human as well. Jaden Pearson's been an awesome addition to this Bulldog squad, and I can't wait to see what he can be capable of moving forward. I'd like to see if we can get like a little turnover, a little fumble turnover. We haven't had one of those just quite yet from the defensive side, so maybe we get a little strip of the ball from one of our linebackers there. Love to see Jaden Pearson in action on Saturday. Jorge, you're up next.
I will go with Corey Foreman.
Corey! What do you like about Corey?
You know, he's got that mentality, you know, that you know, every down mentality that you got to work hard for. So yeah. I think that I like that. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You got two picks, Chloe. Are you giving me a look like I picked one?
Yeah, you guys picked like three of mine.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to go Rayshon Luke.
Yes, Speedy Luke.
Three touchdowns for us already.
Yup.
Looking good. We like him.
We like him for sure. You see a lot of his touchdown runs. He was able to really really skirt some of the defenders there. Able to keep his feet moving, especially when tacklers are attacking him at the front line there. And as soon as he gets past that, he's gone. He's gone. If nobody's in front of him, he's gone. And I love that about Rayshon Luke. What do you got next?
I got Simon Harris.
Simeon Harris.
Yep.
Yeah. What about him?
Looking at his stats, he has 6 tackles for us, and he seems like a really good team leader. He really seems like he's helping pull this team together right now, which we need coming out of week 0 and going into this Oregon State game.
Yeah, Simeon is going to face a lot of pressure in terms of the way we're going to see this quarterback throw. His ability to also be kind of one of those tools where he can come up to the line and be a guy who can tackle for loss in terms of that. Simeon's a good pick as well. Jorge, what about you?
I am going with Josiah Freeman.
All right. Josiah Freeman.
Tall guy, you know, can catch a ball, pretty good hands, has a little bit, some good speed. I think, you know, he's definitely a guy that we need.
All right. I'm going to go Kavion Thunderbird here, who had a breakout game last week. He almost had a pick, and I would say he's kicking himself he didn't get that interception that was thrown right to his face in that second half of that game against Georgia Southern. But Kavion Thunderbird, let's talk about it here. When they're facing this quarterback who's going to be on the move, he's going to be a big-time strong guy. Kavion Thunderbird can be a guy that can do that, neutralize that option if he tries to step up in the pocket and scramble a little bit. So I like his ability to fill some gaps. I think we were clearly able to adjust. We can find a way to adjust against that Kansas game plan going into this Oregon State game plan. And I'm curious to see what Thunderbird can provide in terms of that. My next guy is, I'm going to pick Brandon Ramirez, the running back, the third running back. He has a big breakout play every game, and he's a new nice speed of change in terms of the other two guys. And the dude fights for yardage. He fought for that touchdown. I like what he can provide in the pass and run game as a running back. Him being the third guy feels like it's cemented a little bit for me for this Bulldog squad, especially when other guys need rest. I think Brandon Ramirez has answered the call every time he's been able to step on the field for the Bulldogs. So I got him.
He reminds me of like one of those old school fullbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Like just down like just a go. Bus.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to go with Alshon Hamilton.
Azillion Hamilton?
Azillion Hamilton.
Yeah.
One of the guys, leaders, definitely. Defensive, you know, guy that knows very well his space and where he sat in the field, you know, special awareness. So I think, I'm going to go with him.
That's a good call. Good call. Chloe, you got 2 of your final picks here. What do you got?
You guys took... Oh, my.
Oh, no.
I'm going to butcher this name. Jacob Spoomer?
Spoomer. Center. Yeah.
Yeah. Just seems like a key player for us. At least what I picked up on.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
I found this out, by the way, the other day. He's from my neck of the woods. He's from Brentwood, California. Although he's a Liberty Lion. I can forgive him instead of being a Heritage Patriot. Regardless, Spoelmer, here's a key thing about Spoelmer. He's the guy who leads this offensive line. They just lost Campbell McCarg to injury for the whole year. He's the starting right guard. That's a guy that stands right next to Spoelmer in terms of pass defense. So whoever's going to be coming in, stepping in, maybe it's going to be Polendo. Julian Polendo is the next guy who's going to be starting on that line. Spoelmer's going to be so key in making sure he's set up right, getting those sets right, getting those block sets right. Crucial to get the experience you need on that line in order for this group to be successful in the run and pass game. So great pick, Chloe, in terms of the Jacob Spoelmer pick. What do you got next?
I'm going to go Braden Walton.
Right on the line again, that left tackle, yeah.
Yeah, just same thing, key player.
Big time presence. You know, he's a freshman, right?
Hey, don't diss on us freshmen.
Don't diss on us freshmen. You know, he's 6'7", 325.
That's a big dude.
Out of Clovis High. Or out of, not Clovis High, excuse me, Buchanan High. He's out of Buchanan High. I saw Clovis. I read Clovis on the sheet. He's from Clovis, but he's a Buchanan High Bear. Nobody come at me.
Hey, I almost went with the CVC.
CVC?
The kid from CVC.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we already had Donaldson go, but you're right. Anyways, Jorge, one more pick for you.
Dylan Lynch.
Dylan Lynch.
Kicker. I know we had our open downs with him, but I feel like he's grown a little bit, and I think, you know, he's looking a little better this year. I saw the first game wasn't his best, but last week was he was better, definitely.
Okay, all right. I'm going to cap off. I need to have something fun here. I'm going to cap off one more pick here. I'm going to go Jordan Malaulu, the returner on the punt side of things. Also had a good catch in the game last week. He certainly can remain being a factor in terms of all phases of the football field. He was able to flip the football field for the Bulldogs, able to make things happen. I really like his ability. He's only a redshirt freshman, and he is a guy who can make a real big impact on this team. He certainly did it already with his kickoff return that sent it, punt return that put him in for a touchdown, the first touchdown of that game against Georgia Southern. So, Jordan Malaulu, and not just the name. I really like him as a player.
Yeah, I felt like, you know, maybe I could pick Michael Jordan there just for the name.
Michael Jordan, yeah.
No, but, this roster has really, really good players, and I think really good talent. And
we now kind of know what they are in terms of the players, right? Are you feeling like, okay, I'm understanding who these guys are and what they do, as opposed to hearing all these names in the offseason going kind of like, I don't know what they're presenting?
Yeah, because, I mean, we would always hear about, like, this running back or this other tight end, and now we could put, you know, the name to a face and realize, okay, so he's the one that did that play.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
My honorable mention, I got Richie Anderson, tight end, for me as well. I'm waiting for these tight ends to break out as far as a pass catching ability to do it. Who do they have? I think I saw Tarwater out there for the catch last
week.
Man,
if we're able to get one tight end to do some good stuff out there, oh man, we'll be unstoppable.
40 plus points this Saturday. I can't get too confident. I got to respect Oregon State and what they're doing, man.
It's going to be a tough game.
Oregon State's given us such tough, like that last game, I'm still scarred by it. One here at Fresno State.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those teams that it's similar to you. You go around and quite frankly, even when they were in the back 12, you would play, you would
excuse you,
steal recruits from them and, you know, go fight for recruits. So yeah, they're definitely teams that are similar.
All right. Cool. Well, great job, guys. Great job on the little player draft. We're gonna make predictions on Friday, I think. Official score predictions and all that fun stuff on Friday's show. So stay with us there as we roll along. Before we go to break, I got to tell you about one thing, folks. And that is that it's week one. Tomorrow, the NFL season gets started. And what better way to get involved than to play free and stack $1 million cash bag with DraftKings Pick 6, an official partner of the NFL. Here's how you do it. All you got to do, download the Pick 6 app. DraftKings' easiest way to play fantasy. You enter for free. That's right, free, when you pick more or less on 6-player stats for week one. There's all kinds of games you can get involved in, including tomorrow night's game. Offense galore between the Eagles and Cowboys. Share your link with friends to add more cash to the bag and get a bonus shot to win. If you hit all 6 picks, and you'll be splitting that bag that's already $1 million or more. Did I mention it's free? Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Use code KFIG. Opt in for free and start stacking entries for NFL Week 1. Zero cost, huge upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Void where prohibited. Must claim token for free entry in bag builder contest. Only perfect entries earn shared cash prizes. Tokens are single use and expire September 8th at 8:15 p.m. Eastern. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. You know whose walk-up song this is? Brent Rooker's of the Athletics. I know this because I was at the stadium last week.
Interesting. That's an interesting walk-up song, too.
I was thinking that, too. I was like, it's an interesting choice, but it kind of worked.
Yeah, slow pace, but then it gets going higher.
Yeah, exactly. So, you ever have a thought of like what your walk-up song would be?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
all the time?
All the time.
Rent free in your head? Or you're like, oh, man. Walk into your house and then suddenly a song plays? Like
I just straight out, I walk into like places and it just my theme music plays.
What's your theme music? What do you got?
I don't know. It feels like it would be like the White Stripes, you know, like Seven Nation Army or something like that.
Okay. Wow. All right. Chloe, you got a walk up song? Did you ever have a walk up song? Or?
We never had a walk up song. We actually had beam songs in gymnastics, but. I think I made this joke to my friends last week that my walk-up song would be Bringing Sexy Back.
Oh.
Just to be ironic.
Okay.
Sure. But in all seriousness, I think I really enjoy the song Fire. Can't remember who it's by, but.
The Jimi Hendrix one or?
I have no idea. But it was my lifting song.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to lift that song. Or Sevens. By Brandon Lake.
Okay. Mm. I have no clue what my walk-up song would be. Because the problem is, I don't listen to music for the lyrics. I really don't. I have a weird brain where I can't comprehend the lyrics. I can if I really try. But like for me, I don't listen to music for the lyrics.
I only listen to music for the lyrics.
Like you've just been a band guys for a long time.
I'm a music nerd. I like the musicality of music. And so to me, I'm like, I'd rather hear the harmonies than I like to hear the instrumentation.
You hear the highs and the lows. And
but then all of a sudden, the middles. The words are just. Blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm horrible at karaoke.
No, I love karaoke.
So I do like High Hopes by Fall Out Boy. Is that what it is?
Is that what it is? Is that your go-to one?
Or the sugar going down.
Down swinging? Yeah.
That might be my walk-up song.
Okay.
Yeah, that might be a good one.
Some Fall Out Boy, huh?
Some Fall Out Boy. Yeah, I think Fall Out Boy would be a good walk-up. Anyways, I don't know. Maybe I wish we had a... wish we could do a poll where people could, like, open the question. Like, what would be your walk-up song? But I wonder if we can do... maybe we do something on Instagram.
Maybe we could do a poll and put... all of our walk-up songs and people get to vote on which one.
No, my ego's too small for that. I mean, my soft for that.
We could do an Instagram one though.
We'll get hurt too easily.
I was listening to, I had a friend who just demoralized me in a musical opinion. This was 10 years ago. Cause I was listening to, you know, I'm from the Bay Area. There's some like alt rock kind of stuff, like some alt pop kind of thing stuff going on. And, one time I was driving around town and I was driving him around. And I was playing that music and he said, Phil, this music sounds like something a girl would lose her virginity to in a movie scene. And I never thought of it the same way again. And I'd never want to put on music for anybody else ever in my car. And I'm fragile and it's fine. And that's how I feel.
Nah, see, the thing about me, I'm older, so I got a lot of guilty pleasures.
That's fine.
I got a lot of like
the oldies,
you know.
I feel like there's a lot of pressure to get a nice playlist when you're on a road trip.
Yeah, no, I can't do that because then I'll put a bunch of stuff that I like and everybody exactly. Be like, what is this?
Exactly.
Nah.
But then again, I have friends who, I'm telling you, throughout my whole entire life in college, every time I got in their car, it was the same first song that played.
Oh, no. Mm.
And it was the same cycle of songs every single time.
That's why I like Spotify Jam.
Yeah.
Because anyone can join it, and then anyone can put on music.
Chloe.
But I, by default...
Chloe. Spotify Jam was not a thing when I was in college.
But now it is.
I had a CD that...
Jorge, it was called a mixtape.
Mixtape, yeah. I had a mixtape, too. When in my very first car, I had a mixtape.
When you had to go to Napster and download the tunes?
LimeWire, which destroyed my computer later on.
Chloe, I don't know how your generation could survive when... with what we were doing. We're trying to pull it up.
Yeah.
And then again, I'm saying all this, and I can't even imagine how you're like, you got what the radio gave you back in the 70s and 60s.
Yeah, I love the radio.
you get what you get, and you either call in for your request, and maybe you get your request in, and that's about it.
I remember being a kid in the 90s and having no internet. So, like, yeah, the radio. You would call the radio and you would wait. And you had, like, this recorder.
Yeah.
So whenever they play the song, you would record the song.
Or, hey, can you imagine? I'm trying to think of this. Like, in the same way of on-demand radio in terms of, like, the music, do you imagine if people were calling in our station, like, I don't want to hear the Niners game anymore. I want to hear the Rams game, or I want to hear the Lions game now. And you got enough requests. And so, all right, this is for Charles out in Kerman. Here's the Lions game. Here's the second quarter. Can you imagine?
I don't think that's – no.
It'd be a logistical nightmare.
Just to put one game is crazy enough for us, commercials and everything on.
The people don't even know. People don't even know the work that goes into bringing you the stuff that you need for your games. Speaking of games coming up, this one's not a request. You're forced to listen to it. Giants and Rockies coming up next. Chapman suspended for a game, you said. Did you say that on air or off air?
Yeah, on air.
You said that on air.
Chapman and others got fined. Yeah. He's the only one that got suspended.
I think it's worth it. I think it's certainly worth it. And Giants got to get a win tonight. I think if you're going to look at the formula of where we want to go in terms of possible playoff possibilities, tonight's a must. You got to sweep the Rockies. You got to beat the Rockies as many times as you can. Take advantage of the schedule in front of you. You lose this game, you don't gain ground on the Mets. You fall back to 5 games behind the Mets. Stay pace, keep in pace. Get the 4 games out with, 21 to play? Think that's not crazy talk. That's certainly not crazy talk. So Giants got to get it done tonight. Hopefully they do. Robbie Ray on the mound. They should. They definitely should.
Should be a good one.
Should be a good one. All right. Good show, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll see you tomorrow, 3 o'clock at Fashion Furniture.
Perfect. Thank you.